Happy Thanksgiving to you, and I want you to know how thankful I am for you, and I'm thankful to be the pastor here at Reinhardt. I just came from a Sunday school class where for 2 weeks I have been teaching our new people an introductory class to Reinhardt, just helping them understand our basic doctrinal teaching. And it's been an exciting 2 weeks for me. We've had over 20 people in that class, and a lot of them are in their 20s and 30s with young children. And that's just one of the reasons I'm glad to be the pastor here. I think the future of Reinhardt is very bright, and all the glory to him. I'm just excited about that. I'm thankful, too, that you have loved Cindy and I for these last 6.5 years. You have accepted us into the church family here. You have encouraged us. You have prayed for us. You have partnered with us in ministry. It really is a wonderful place to be, and I feel truly blessed by the Lord. I want to say, too, I am thankful to work alongside of Elijah, and for Cindy and I to be partners in ministry with Elijah and Mallory. I love them dearly. They are a blessing to us all. Would you agree with me? God is good. And all the time, God is good. Yeah. Today, we're going to focus on planting our roots deep into gratitude. And I want to start the sermon off a little differently. We're going to look at a number of passages of Scripture. If you've looked into the bulletin outline there of the sermon, you see a whole column of Scriptures that we're going to read. And I'm going to ask you to participate with me this morning in the reading of Scripture. What I want to do, if you're physically able, I'd like for you to stand, please. Last week I had somebody say, you know, through the song service, I can't stand because I'm recovering from surgery. If that's the case with you, that's okay. You stay seated. But if you're physically able, I would like for you to stand right now, and we are going to read some Scripture together. And this was a custom in the Old Testament. You would see the people of Israel gathered together, and large passages of Scripture would be read, and people would stand during the reading of Scripture. And in fact, they might stand for half a day. We're not going to do that today, okay? But I do appreciate you standing to read the Scripture today. And what I hope to do is I'll read what's in the black and white, and then every other Scripture you'll note will be highlighted in yellow. And I will lead you in the reading of that Scripture. We'll do that collectively, okay? So the first Scripture that I want to read to you, you will recognize it as one that we have read throughout this whole year. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. And again, I will read the one in black and white. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Note that last phrase. We are to be overflowing with gratitude. Let's read together the next Scripture from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I'll read that one, and actually Shannon referred to it a little bit earlier. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:16. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Psalms 106, verse 1, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy is everlasting. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Psalms 147, verse 7. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. And Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And we'll end with this one. Psalms chapter 9, verse 1. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Thank you. I think it's very clear from Scripture that God wants us to plant our roots deep into gratitude. And we've been reminded of that already this morning through the songs that we've sung. Shannon reminded us of the need to be thankful. And Tammy's testimony earlier reminds us of the need to be thankful. Even when something that happened 20 years ago, we still can be overflowing with gratitude for God's goodness to us. I want to share with you three reasons why we should be thankful. First of all, because God is good and his gifts are good. So many times in Scripture it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Jesus said it this way, no one is good except God alone. To say that God is good means that there is no darkness in him at all, not even a trace of darkness. He is totally light and totally good in his character. Goodness is a part of God's nature. It's who he is. He cannot contradict his nature. In other words, he cannot not be good. Now, I don't know if that's very good English or not, but it's the truth. Think about that. God cannot not be good. He's extremely opposite of you and me. We can find a way to not be good. We can find a way to be snotty or to be unpleasant. We can find a way to have a bad day or to have a bad moment. That's true with even the best of us. The Apostle Paul said it this way, I'm the worst of sinners. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. What a wretched man I am. If Paul was that way, how much more are we that way? But that's not true for God. There is no evil in him whatsoever. Think about this. He has never had a bad day. God has never had even a bad moment. He is intrinsically good, and that never changes. It goes hand in hand with what I talked with you about last week, the fact that God is holy. He is perfect. He is without sin. He is the standard of all that is good. You and I measure goodness by the standard of God Himself. He is perfect in His goodness. And that means that His gifts are good too. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." According to that passage, God is always the same. He's always dependable. He never changes. He is always good, and His gifts are always good. I'm thinking of the good gifts that He has given to us collectively. He's given to all of us a beautiful world to live in. When He created the world, as we read about back in the book of Genesis, we read that after each day of creation, He stepped back to take a look at what He had done, and He said, "It is good." God's creation is good, and we don't have to go far to see the beauty of His creation. A sunset, a sunrise. Scott Sudkamp this morning, as we were talking in the gym before Sunday school, showed me a picture of the sunrise this morning. I missed it, but it was absolutely beautiful. The stars at night, the moon, the fall colors. I mean, God has given us a wonderful world to live in. And those of us who are deer hunting right now, we are blessed to see some things that are really cool. This last week, as I sat in a deer stand, I had a hawk fly and perched itself on a branch, I bet 15 feet from where I was sitting in the deer stand. And I was sitting still, I didn't move, and I was watching that hawk, and it was there for the longest time, and I was able to just give thanks to God in my heart for that bird and its beauty. And it flew off, it never even knew I was there. And then to have deer come and meander around just below me, and to not know that I'm there, that's pretty cool. To see God's creation that close up. Last year, I was sitting in a deer stand, and more than once, two bucks were right there before me, locking horns and pushing on each other. That was cool. I've had a bobcat walk in front of me. I've had a coyote that's so close to me, I could have reached out and touched it with my gun, and it never knew I was there. His creation is truly an amazing thing, and we get to enjoy it. We get to see the splendor of it and the majesty of it and the beauty of it. He is a good God, and His gifts to us are good. Another gift that we collectively enjoy is the fact that He has given to us His Son to come here and to save us from our sins. That is the best gift ever. It's through His Son that we have hope. It's through His Son that we have forgiveness of sins. It's through His Son that we have the promise of heaven. And then He's given to us the Holy Spirit to help us live the life that He's called us to live. Our God is a good, good God. If you believe that, say amen. And then the gifts that He's given to us personally. What He's given to you is very likely different than what He's given to me. He's been so good to each and every one of us. For me, He's given me Cindy, and I'm so thankful for her. I think she considers me as a gift to her. I hope, sometimes. And he's given us kids and grandkids. He's given us friends and a church family. He meets our needs. He's lavished us with more than what we deserve. And that will be evidenced on Thursday as we sit down as a family together and we eat together. Our God is a good God, and he gives good gifts to each and every one of us. And you could testify of the gifts that he's given to you personally. Does that mean that everything is perfect for us? No. No. Does that mean that he gives us everything we ask for? No. And I'm thinking that's probably a good thing, that he doesn't give us everything we ask for, because he knows better than we do, and he sees the big picture, when oftentimes what we're seeing is just a very limited part of that picture. And we may ask for something and he says, no, I've got something better for you. I've got something different for you that's going to work even better for you. And he's a God that can take even those things that are bad and he can work good from them. I think a part of Tammy's testimony is that though through that almost a whole year of trials and circumstances that were not what she was asking for, I bet during that time and since, she is able to look back and she is able to see the spiritual growth that took place in her life and the dependence that she had on God more than any other season in her life. God is able to take bad situations and he's able to work good from them if we trust him. He's a good, good Father, and his gifts to us are good. Therefore, we need to be filled up with thanksgiving towards him. Let me give to you a second reason to be thankful, because thanksgiving is our best option. Think about it. If we're not thankful, then we're likely to be bitter and grumbling. And certainly there are things that we could find to grumble about. There are things that we could be easily bitter about. Life is hard, isn't it? There is pain. There's heartache and there's death. There's sickness. And there are people. And people can disappoint us, and people hurt us, and people judge us, and people mistreat us. And it's easy to resort to bitterness because of those people. And it's easy to grumble because of those people. But a better alternative is to be thankful. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Besides, God commands us not to be bitter. He commands us not to be grumbling. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one falls short or no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." And then over in John 6:43, Jesus said, "Do not grumble among yourselves." Thanksgiving is a better alternative. And it's better than worrying, too. One of the verses we read earlier from Philippians chapter 4 said to pray instead of worry, and when you pray, be thankful. Do you remember the result? When you pray with thanksgiving, the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. His peace will be yours. A couple of weeks ago, when Elijah preached, he referenced an Old Testament name of God called Adonai El Roy, which means the God who sees me. And as I listened to his sermon, I thought he did a really, really good job of bringing the truth of that name of God out to us, and the fact that God sees us in any and every circumstance that we are going through. I want to reference another name of God from the Old Testament, Jehovah Shalom. Do you know what that means? It means the Lord who is peace. That name shows up in the book of Judges. Maybe you remember the verse in Judges that is repeated more than once. It's this, Judges 21:25, and it's repeated more than once in that book. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." That's a sad commentary on mankind. And as a result, there was so much chaos in the land and confusion and trouble. And as I was thinking about, I'm thinking it really does sound very familiar to today's society, where there's no real leadership in high places, and everyone seems to be doing what is right in their own eyes, and chaos reigns. Well, God has a way of getting his people's attention. The Midianites at this time were wreaking havoc upon the people of God simply because the people of God had forgotten who he was. And God wanted them to remember. He wanted them to awaken from their spiritual slumber. A few years of oppression from the Midianites, and what were the Israelites doing? The Israelites were crying out to God for help and for his mercy, and God hears their cry, and he answers their prayer through a man named Gideon. And God appeared to Gideon at the threshing floor, if you're familiar with that story. It was actually the angel of the Lord, the scripture says. It was Jesus in the Old Testament making a personal appearance to Gideon. And when Gideon looks up and he sees Jesus, he's afraid to death. And Jesus' words to him were, "Peace be with you, do not fear." And you know what Gideon did? He built an altar to the Lord, and he named it, "The Lord is peace." The Hebrew phrase is Jehovah Shalom. And I have good news for you. He wants to shower you with his peace too, if you will trust him. If you will pray to him and count your blessings, his peace will come to you. I'll give you one more reason to be thankful, and it will be very brief. Being thankful puts us in a position to point people to Jesus. If you're a bitter person or a grumbling person, it's likely that people will not be drawn to you, and you will have very little chance to tell them about Jesus. But if, on the other hand, you are a thankful person and you are a person of peace, then people will be more drawn to you, and you will have more opportunities to tell them about Jesus. One of the verses that we read earlier, Psalms 9:1. In fact, it was the last verse in that long column of verses that we read together. Psalms 9:1 from the New International Version. It says, "I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds." And I hope that's your desire. The world definitely needs to hear the good news. If you've got it, you need to share it. So our prayer should simply be this: God, help us to plant our roots deep into gratitude. Work on that this week. Pray about that. Help me, God, to plant my roots deep into gratitude. Help me to count my many blessings. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. We don't deserve those gifts, but we receive them graciously and humbly. And may we share your goodness with others. In Jesus' name, amen.